the Lord. Because in Ephesians 6:10, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." How does one become strong in the Lord? Are you strong in the Lord? How does one become strong in the Lord? How do you know if you're strong in the Lord? What do you have to come through to become strong in the Lord? Once you understand, the first step in becoming strong in the Lord is you must die to self. You got to get the big I off the throne of your life. And that's one of the hardest things you will ever do. It's one of the hardest things you will ever do is get the big I off the throne of your life. But you have to die to self. But then to become strong in the Lord and the power of His might, you have to know both His word and His will. Both His word and His will. And it is the word that expresses His will. So it's through the word that you discover His word, His will. And you must be completely, totally, fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. How much of the church is there? Must be fully, completely, totally surrendered in every expression of life, in every reaction in life. You must be totally, totally committed and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. How are we doing so far? How are we doing so far? Back to Ephesians 6:10 again. This is the verse. This is the message this morning, folks. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be strong in the Lord, how do I get there? How do I get there? How do you get there? How do we become strong in the Lord? Well, number one, it requires a time spent alone with God. How are you doing so far? It requires time spent alone with God, just you and God. No TV, nobody else. No newspaper, no books, just you and God. You and God. I think that is sadly lacking in much of the body of Christ. How many in the body of Christ truly, truly, truly spend time alone with God? I'm not talking about a 10-minute devotional in the morning. I'm not talking about a 10 or 15 or 20-minute devotional in the morning. I'm talking about sitting down, getting quiet. Maybe the Word of God lay it in your lap. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to Scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit quicken Scriptures to you. And just spend time with God. He's your Father. And that, when your last heartbeat comes, you're going to be there for eternity. So you might get to know Him now. How well do you know your Father? How well do you know your Savior? How well do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? How well do you want to know them? But you see, it requires time. Time, time. Turn the TV off. Turn everything else off. Get quiet. Spend time alone with the Lord. Spend time in intimacy with God. I wonder how many in here this morning spend time of intimacy with God. When you really share your heart, your aspirations, what you'd like to be, what you'd like to thank Him for, understanding who He is, what you've come through, Understand this before we go any further. You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. In order for you to come into spiritual maturity, I've been hitting this so hard in recent weeks because I'm telling you, most of the church, I would say the majority of the church is not there. A majority of the church is not there yet. They think, okay, I got saved, I'm born again, so that pretty well wraps things up for me. Now it's just a matter of kind of waiting till I get to glory. No. You, every day of your life, are to become increasingly more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're to become increasingly like the Lord Jesus Christ every day of your life, which means every day of your life, you got to wake up, get up, and die to self. You got to wake up, get up, and die to self. To do that, you got to spend time in intimacy with God, acknowledging who He is. I look back across my life, folks, and I see the hand of God on my life from a young boy. I regret the time that I ran from God. I regret the time that I was what I was, just as many of you do. Doing what I did, said what I said, going where I went. But I thank Him for His mercy. I thank Him for His grace. I thank Him for His love. So, in order to grow more like Him, we've got to spend time in intimacy. When I say intimacy, what I'm talking about, you've got to share with Him your failures. Share your failures, past and present. Share your failures with Him. What you would like to be, what you want. Oh, we come in church and we put on our best face and we shake hands and we hug each other and you're great and I'm great, we're all great, and that's nonsense. That's nonsense. We're all coming through different levels and different trials and different threats and different situations and different circumstances. And this whole idea of dying to self, so much of the church never really grasped what it means to die to self. It means getting the big I off the throne of the life, enthroning the Lord Jesus Christ on the life in every single solitary expression of life. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be involved in, it means having Christ, Jesus Christ, Lord of your life. It's a continuing practice. Now, you've got to get there. You're going to have to spend time alone with God, folks. Listen to me. TV's got to be turned off. Newspaper's got to be laid down. You've got to isolate just you and Him. To spend time alone with Him, intimacy with Him, and where you share your heart, your fears, your failures, what you'd like to be, what you'd like to do, acknowledging who He is, all that He is as best we can, and that becomes a continuing practice in the life. I've been around church a long time. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. Come in like gangbusters and leave like wimps. I've watched it. So much of the church really doesn't understand this. And it's not a matter of having a religious formula. Okay, let's see. It's 7:15. So, okay, God, I give you 20 minutes now. And you give Him from 7:15 to 7:25 or 7:35. No. It's a continuum. In His presence, you need most days of the world. I'm not going to say every day of the world. It would be great to have every day of the world. And realistically, if we could work it out that way, we should. But a majority of the days of your life, you need quality time alone with God. in which you can express to Him your concerns, your burdens, your doubts, your fears, the level of your unbelief. How much of the Word of God have you really believed? You believe what you do. You do what you believe. How much of the Word of God have you really, truly received? And it's not, you know, I'm a firm believer in starting your day out with the Lord. I am. I'm a firm believer in moments, minutes, even maybe before you get out of bed, you're submitting and committing yourself to His Lordship throughout the day. And then you may not have the time in the morning because of the schedule and the work schedule. You may not have time to spend quality time with Him at that time, but sometime before you get to bed that night, you need to spend some quality time with Him, thanking Him for what He's brought you through, where He's brought you to, thanking Him for the victories He's given you, thanking Him for who He is and all He is and what He's provided and what He's prevented. All of that needs to be involved in the mix. Time spent with God. Let me ask you a question. Are you comfortable in the presence of God? Are you? Just you and Him? Are you comfortable? Knowing that He knows you inside and out? He knows your bloodline? He knows every fear? He knows every doubt? He knows the level of your faith? He knows the level of your belief? What you believe, what you don't believe? How much you've received it, how much you haven't received? He understands all of that. So are you comfortable? Really, truly comfortable in the presence of God, sharing your heart? He's your Father. He's your Father. He knows everything that has ever touched your life, negatively, positively. He knows everything that has ever touched your life. He knows everything that has ever bruised you spiritually, emotionally. He knows everything that's ever wounded you spiritually, emotionally. He knows and understands all of that. So you have to be willing to spend time in quietness, in prayer, and then waiting. We don't wait well. We don't wait well for anything, whether it's traffic or whether it's on a checkout line. We don't wait well. And I'm afraid that too many of us don't wait well before the Lord. How much time do you spend just spending some time in the Word, spending some time in prayer, in-depth prayer, intimacy, and then waiting on Him and giving Him the opportunity to speak to you, to share His heart, His mind with you? Well, preach, I read the Proverbs and I read a couple of Psalms. No, I said spend time with Him. He's your Father. And many of you did not have much of a relationship with your earthly Father. And that has affected your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because you didn't have much of a relationship with your earthly Father. You don't have sometimes that deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father. I don't know what kind of relationship you had with your dad, but I can tell you this. It's affecting your relationship with your Heavenly Father. If you did not have an in-depth, now He can bring you through that as you come through level after level after level, stage after stage after stage of your spiritual growth in your walk with Him. He can bring you through that. He can bring you beyond that. But I'm saying to you that so many in the quote, the organization known as the church, not the organism, which is the body of Christ. And there's a world of difference between the organization known as the church and the organism, which is the body of Christ. You've got people from every walk of life have been wounded, have been bruised, have been discouraged, have been disappointed. And then understand this. I'm convinced of this. After all the years in ministry and dealing with what I've had to deal with, I'm convinced that every child of God There is the sign, the spirit, to try to disturb you, defeat you, disappoint you, to cause you failure. That's why every day of the world you got up and put on the whole armor of God. You got to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's more than words. If I'm going to submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that means that a lot of times I can't speak. I can't act. I can't react. I've got to come under His Lordship and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak through me, to manifest through me. All that is involved. And that only comes about as you spend time quietly. We don't like to be quiet. We like to be busy. But you got to get quiet. You got to spend time with the Lord in prayer and then waiting. How much time do you spend waiting on the Lord? Well, but you know, I got things to do. That might work for you. You're a preacher, but I got things to do. You ought to try this capacity for a while. But how much time do you spend just waiting on the Lord? Then through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. How much time do you spend in intimacy with the Holy Spirit? What do you mean by intimacy? Well, seeking the mind of the Lord. Seeking the mind of the Lord. How do I proceed? Am I in the right direction? Am I going in the right direction? Am I missing out on something here? I need the mind of the Lord. I need the mind of the Lord to know how to react, how to respond, how to go forward. I need the mind of the Lord, as do you. So how much time do you spend seeking the mind of the Lord? You want Him guiding you and directing you. And then seeking the will of the Lord in any given situation. Folks, we're facing situations every day. In relationships. In situations. In circumstances. In decisions that have to be made. How much time do you spend waiting on the Lord? Seeking the mind of the Lord. Saying to Him, listen, Father, I'm up against this. I'm up against that. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. I need your mind. I need your leadership. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I've got to make this decision. I've got to be involved in this circumstance, this situation, and I need you. And then sharing your concerns. It's okay to say to Him, I got a problem. Share your concern with Him. And I dare say that everybody in here has a concern of one kind or another. Do you discuss it with the Lord? He's your Father. You say, well, you know, really, preach, I never really discuss my concerns and my problems and my wants and my wishes, my desires and my likes, my dislikes with my earthly father. Quite frankly, I'm not used to that sort of thing. Why not? You've been adopted into the family of God. Folks, with your last heartbeat, you're going to be in eternity. With your last heartbeat, you're going to be with Him. How well do you know Him? How well do you know your Father? How intimate are you with your Father? How open and how transparent are you with your Father? Can you go to your Father and discuss any and every situation you're facing? Any and every circumstance? You see, you are walking through life with issues that you have repressed. Issues that you have failed to acknowledge. You won't even acknowledge them to yourself, much less to God. You're walking through life knowing that there were certain events and situations and circumstances in life that wounded you and bruised you and made you less of what you really ought to be and want to be. But you won't discuss it with Him. And some of it goes back to grammar school. Some of it before you even entered grammar school. Things that happened in your family things that happened in your life that affected you, impacted you. And because they affected you and impacted you, they have impacted your life and your responses to life, your reactions to life. These things are working in your life. How much time do you spend in His Word? We're talking about intimacy. Sharon and I spent hours and hours and hours, weeks and weeks and weeks, months and months and months, just talking to each other about everything that ever touched our life. We spent hours, weeks, months, just talking to each other. And we've got married couples who've never done that. They've never done that. They've never talked about this touched my life at this point and this touched my life at that point and I was up against this here and I was up against that there. They don't do that. And so many in the church have closed their spirit. They've shut down. They've closed down. And they're not going to discuss the things that impacted them emotionally, spiritually, mentally. They're not going to discuss it. But God, your Father, only knows anyway. He understands. So why not open up? Why not talk to Him about it? Just because you're repressing it, trying to ignore it, the reality of that situation or that circumstance or that event, does not make it go away. So in prayer time, talk to Him about those things that impacted you, those things that affected you and are still influencing some of your reactions and responses. See, you had events in your life years ago that are still impacting your responses to life. And it's hindering your development in Christ. You need to bring it to the light. Bring it to the light, bring it to the Lord about your needs. Not only your needs, it's okay to tell the Lord what you need. Most of us, our physical needs are met, but that's just the surface. How much more do we need emotionally? How much more do we need spiritually? In how many ways have we been wounded emotionally? In how many ways have we been bruised emotionally? Well, if you won't acknowledge it yourself, you'll never discuss it with the Lord. You've got to be willing to look back across your life and see those events that impacted you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Ignoring them doesn't get rid of it. Ignoring them doesn't solve it. But you got a Heavenly Father who already knows. He already knows everything that ever touched your life that has wounded you, bruised you, restricted you in your spiritual development. You can talk to Him about it. He wants you to talk to Him about it. What about the needs of others? Do you ever take the time to examine the needs of others? Do you just observe, even in your own family, your neighborhood, whatever it may be, your nation? Are there individuals about whom you are concerned? Or are we all so self-centered that we don't have time for anybody else? Are we just so self-centered, my need, my wants, my desires, that I don't have time to examine that individual, even in our church family? In the family of God, many times we're so caught up with ourselves that we never take the time to recognize what someone else is going through and take them before the Lord. Folks, there's a lot of wounded and bruised spirits sitting in church every Sunday. Emotionally, spiritually wounded, bruised spirits. And you may not know them by name. But some of them, you know, by your interaction with them, there's a problem here. The way they look at you, the way they react to you, the way they respond to you, you know there's a problem. Have you taken it to the Lord? You can take them before the Lord. You don't have to go up to them and say, guess what, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. No. Just take them before the Lord. Private prayer time in your prayer closet. Just take issues concerning other individuals, yourself, to the Lord in your private prayer time. And then what about the body of Christ in the world today? Do you ever pray about the body of Christ in the world today? In other nations, what the body of Christ is facing? I'm not going to go any further than I should go right now, but let me say something to you. You need to be sensitive to the shifting, the slight shifting of the times nationally and internationally because the stage is being set. And you need to understand what's on the horizon. You and I, most of us, will probably never see the fulfillment of so much that is being right now, the platform is being laid for, but you've got children. You've got grandchildren, perhaps great-grandchildren, that are going to experience it. And you need to be in prayer about that. You need to be praying. I'm asking God to delay the satanic agenda. I'm asking God to restrict and delay the satanic agenda for a few generations. I'm not ashamed to ask that, because I see the satanic agenda being implemented every day of my life. Not only in the political world, but in the religious, quote, spiritual world as well. I see it. And so I'm praying it. I'm asking God to delay the spirit, the satanic agenda. So once we start looking to this, I'm praying about the nation. Spiritually, morally, I pray about the nation. I never thought I'd see the day that my nation would embrace what it embraces. I never thought I would see in my lifetime what is thrown out there for the whole world to see that is occurring in the nation with respect to lifestyles, ungodly lifestyles, mindsets, all of that involved in. I never thought I would ever live to see that kind of day in this nation, but it's here. And it's in our face. And we are the ambassadors for Christ. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am to represent the kingdom of God. And I may not be able to, I may not be intimately involved in so much of what's going on, but I can be involved prayer-wise. I can take it before the throne of God. I can talk to him about same-sex unions. I can talk to him about transgenderism. I can ask him to give us a majority in the Senate and in the House of Christ-honoring, Bible-believing men and women of God. I can ask him for that. I can go before his throne with that. I can ask him to purge and to purify. I can ask him to penetrate the darkness and the deception of whole systems of religion that are not Christ-centered, are not presenting the plan of salvation. They're simply saying to people, do this our way and you'll be all right with God when their way is wrong. So I'm praying those. I'm praying religious systems. I want you. You can do that. You're an ambassador for Christ. You represent the kingdom of God. You have access to the throne of God. Go before the throne of God. I'm asking God to penetrate the darkness and the deception of whole systems of religion that misrepresent the gospel, the cross. And I'm asking God to bring people out of those systems who have been deceived. Bring out the elect. Who are the elect? The elect are those that God knew before the foundation of the world would be willing to be willing to be born again. I'm asking God to bring them out. Folks, you've got to fine-tune this thing. You've got to get the frequencies fine-tuned. You want to be in tune with the heart of God. You want to be sensitive and in tune to the Holy Spirit. And you want to pray those things that are on the heart of God, in the mind of God, in God's agenda. You are a believer priest. You are an ambassador for Christ. You've been adopted into the family of God. You got clout. Go into the presence of God. Exercise your clout. Exercise your position. Yes, you're a soldier of the cross. Endure hardness as a good soldier, the Word of God says. Endure hardness. I don't like hardness, preacher. Endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. Take your position as ambassador for Christ, as a believer priest, as one in the priesthood of God. Take your position. Exercise your position. pray your position. Now, once again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's the first part. Be strong. How strong are you in the Lord? How strong are you in the Lord? I'll leave it with you, but you need to take it up with Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, and in the power of His might. Not your might, His might. I am convinced that the average individual sitting in the average church does not have the foggiest idea of who they are in Christ. What is accessible to them. What they have access to. I'm convinced that the majority of those people sitting in religious organizations, and yes, in the church itself, do not have a well-rounded understanding of who they are in Christ Jesus. I remember one time years ago, we had a Baptist church here in town that had an individual they were trying to break free out of demonization. And they called me and said, "We understand that you have some background in this. Would you be willing to work with this person?" And I said, "Sure." So they sent that person over. It was a female, a woman. And I had a couple that I used from time to time. They understood warfare. And so we've got this lady, she's about 18, 19 years old, in the office. And I'm letting Ray and Dottie work with her. But I'm sitting over there not saying a word. Praying. Quietly, solemnly, not saying a word. Not making a motion. And all of a sudden, that woman looked at me and said, "Stop that." And I said, "Stop what?" She said, "Praying. Stop that praying. It hurts." The pressure. It's in the invisible spirit realm. You have to understand that you are involved in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in opposition to the kingdom of Satan. And you have to understand that you are an ambassador for Christ. You are a believer priest. You're a child of God. You're a soldier of the cross. You have access to the throne of God. You can affect and influence things at the international level as well as the national level, but you won't find 3 in 10 that really believe that. You have to understand, well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have that. Forget that nonsense. You're born again, child of God, then you have access to the throne of God. You may as well access that throne, right, in order to advance the kingdom of God. I'm wanting you to walk out of here this morning with a new perspective. I want you to sit down, be quiet, hear God, spend time, understand this, you're not nearly as spiritual as you think you are. You're really not. None of us are. None of us are as spiritual as we'd like to think we are. But we are a child of God if we've been born again, adopted into the family of God. We have access to the throne of God. We should use that access to affect things nationally, internationally, locally, in the lives of others, in our own lives. Going further. And in the power of His might, you in and of yourself, you have access to the power of God. You have access. You are to appropriate that power. You are to appropriate that power in your life every day because you're in warfare every day. And quite frankly, Satan is waiting to neutralize you the time you put your feet on the floor in the morning. He's waiting to neutralize you. Satan never wants you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Your throne rights, who you are, all that you are, all that you have at your disposal. Have to understand this. You, in and of yourself, are no match. Listen to me. You, in and of yourself, are no match for Satan. You're no match for the slightest, weakest demon in hell. You said, I didn't know they came in different strengths. Well, yes, they do. Word of God teaches that in Ephesians chapter 6. Thrones, powers, dominions, influence, different levels. I've been there. I've had to deal with it. So you have to understand, you have been given access to the throne of God. You have been given access to the throne of God. And that's one reason that you've been furnished the sword of the Spirit. Do you know how to wield it? You've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sometimes we become religiously complacent. Sometimes we become spiritually complacent. Sometimes we become biblically complacent. And complacency is a weapon of the Satan. We need to be sensitive and alert every day of the world to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, moment by moment, we should be looking to the Lord for leadership. How do I respond to this? How do I react to that? What do I pray about this? You've been furnished with the sword of the Spirit. You've been given the whole armor of God. And you have to acknowledge, receive, and access. Listen to me now. You have to acknowledge, receive, and utilize your access to the throne of God. The ultimate power of the universe. You have to be knowledgeable, sensitive to the fact that you have access to the throne of Jehovah God. And you can go before Jehovah God with any personal, national, international concern. You're an ambassador for Christ. You represent the kingdom of God. You've got angels at your disposal. You got the power of God at your disposal. You don't have to brag about it. Just go to your prayer closet. So many times we want to take credit for something. I can't take credit for anything. I go before the throne of God. I pray national, international, local affairs. I pray individual affairs. But I can't take credit for anything because I didn't do it. God does it. But he wants us to bring it to him. You have not because you ask not. And that goes further than getting a material thing. That goes into the kingdom of God. We must acknowledge, receive, and access our position in Christ. So much of the church, I'm telling you, so much of the church does not know their position in Christ. And because they do not understand their position in Christ, they've been neutralized. They've been neutralized. We have to understand our access, our position in Christ. We have to understand not only our position in Christ, but our access. Our access to the throne of God, our Heavenly Father. I've told the Lord, when I die, I'll be content with a little cottage somewhere off in the corner of Glory Land. I'm not looking for the big, but I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. We are salt. We are light. We are representing the kingdom of God on planet Earth to a sin-cursed, sin-darkened, lost generation and population. And we're the only light. You are the only light some will ever see. You're the only salt that some will ever encounter. We have to acknowledge and receive our accept our position in Christ Jesus. You've got to acknowledge your adoption. When's the last time you said, Father, thank you for adopting me? If you've been born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. You are a child of God with access to your Father, with access to everything your Father has. You as a child of God have been adopted into the family of God, and you have access. But you see, you have to receive that truth. You have to be willing to receive that spiritual truth. You have to be willing to receive and acknowledge that truth. Receive it. Acknowledge it. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. No, wait a minute. Okay. My educational level may be here, and my income may be at this level, and I'm not looking forward to much more than that for a long, long time. But as one born again, as one adopted into the family of God, I have access to the creative power of this universe. Amen. And he's interested in everything that interests me. He's interested in everything that concerns me. Now, this that I'm teaching you this morning is a spiritual truth not really embraced by many who claim to be born again. I'm saying to you that most of the church does not really acknowledge and receive these truths I'm sharing with you this morning, which is one reason we are where we are. But it's who we are. I have to recognize my access to the throne of God. My wife doesn't have to understand. You don't have to understand. Your husband, your wife, did not have to understand. You see, you are dealing with issues way down deep inside that you can't discuss with anybody except him. You can take it to him. See, you know things about yourself that nobody else knows about you. That's why you take those things to him. Am I easily offended? Am I this? Am I that? Am I the other? How do I react? How do I respond to this or that or the other? What is in my bloodline? What has been a continuing problem in my life for how many years? I have lived this. I've walked this. I've talked this to the Lord. I don't understand. I told the Lord, I said, I don't understand why you call me to preach. Don't understand it. Well, what I had to come through. Well, what's true of me is true of you. You are, listen to me carefully now. I don't care how long you've been involved in church, and I don't care how much you've been involved in activities in the church. You have still, each and every one of us, have to come layer after layer after level after layer of sanctification. And at every level and layer of sanctification, the Spirit of God is working to deliver you and free you and release you from certain things in your life that are hindering your identification with Christ and your development in Christ. Yes. Folks, it's a process. And the minute you think you have arrived, you failed. The minute you think you have arrived, you have failed big time. That is why. Day after day we pray, not my will, thy will be done. Amen. Guide me, direct me, lead me. Where I need correction, correct me. Where I need correction, correct me. Whatever it takes. If I need correction in that area of my life, correct me. I want to be corrected. Because why? Because it is as I am corrected and coming to grips with the correction that I'm becoming more Christ-like, and I want to become more Christ-like. And spiritual pride, God help us. Spiritual pride will neutralize you as a witness. Spiritual pride will neutralize you as a powerful prayer partner. It'll neutralize you. There's no place in our life for spiritual pride, because what did I have to do with my salvation? Nothing. By grace you saved. Through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we must then utilize our access to the throne of God in praise, in thanksgiving, and for all the blessings. Do you ever take the time just to slow down and thank Him for blessing after blessing after blessing? All the blessings. Stop and think about all the blessings He's blessed you with. Do you take the time to think Him about that in worship? Do you spend time acknowledging who He is and all that He is, and who He is to you and all that He is to you and all He's been to you for a lifetime? Let me tell you something I don't understand. I know the biblical principle, but it amazes me. It amazes me that each and every one of us have had to come through level after level. Now, you too will never be at the same level. You and I will never be the same level. No two of us in here are the same level. We're all coming through our own individual level of sanctification. Each one of us. Now, the thing that amazes me is why God would save somebody like you. Much less someone like me. Stop and think about what I'm saying. I'm going to move into an area now that you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit wrap your mind around this. God knew from eternity past who would and who would not believe and receive. And God set in motion a series of events that would eventually result in your receiving that which He was offering, which is your salvation. He knew. Now, here's the thing I don't understand, and nobody can explain it. Why does He let us go as far as He lets us go and come through all we come through before He brought us to a saving knowledge? Well, let me tell you why. You need all the past experiences to appreciate what He's done for you, and so you can identify with someone else who's coming through those same level of experiences. Did you catch that? Understand that He is bringing you through levels of spiritual growth, and that as you come through that level of spiritual growth, He is conditioning you and training you so you can identify with someone else who's coming through that level of spiritual growth, so you don't give up on them, because God didn't give up on you. Amen. You just keep on keeping on. So we utilize our access to the throne of our Heavenly Father in praise, thanksgiving, and thanking for His blessings, in worship, acknowledging who He is and all that He is. How in the world do you acknowledge all that God is? In adoration. Do you ever spend time just adoring Him? Do you ever spend time just expressing your love and adoration for Him? Do you? I wonder how many husbands constantly remind their wives, "I love you." I wonder how many wives constantly remind their husband, "I love you." I wonder how many, quote, believers constantly remind the Lord that "I love you" and ask Him, "Can I love you more? Will you increase my capacity to love you? Will you increase that?" We express ourselves in thanksgiving. "I'm thankful for so much. I look back across my life and all that God brought me through from the different regions of the world. In different regions of the world where I was. What I confronted, what I was faced with, and what God brought me through. And I look back on it and I just thank Him, thank Him, thank Him." Now, what about in submission to His will? What about His entitlements? How much time do you spend just thanking Him for what you're entitled to? Submission to His will, all the entitlements He's made available to you. And you see, then we must know and acknowledge and embrace the whole armor of God. I taught that last Sunday. I'm fixing to wrap this up. You have to understand the whole armor of God. You have to understand how peace of the whole armor of God functions. You must learn the function of each and every piece of the armor of God if you're going to walk in victory. It's not child's play. Let me ask you this. Are you comfortable? Just you and God? Think about that. Think about what I'm asking you. Are you comfortable? Just you and God together? Are you comfortable being in the presence of God? Sitting with God? Talking with God? Listening for God? Letting God speak to you, not only from His Word, but spirit to spirit. See, this Word will reveal His will to you. This word will reveal his will, but there are times that he's going to speak to you individually, personally. And he needs you to be quiet and receptive so he can do that, because sometimes we get so busy involved in this, that, and the other that we don't really take the time to hear God and to let God speak to us. He never shouts. It's always just a gentle voice. A gentle, gentle, gentle impression on the Spirit. Sometimes a gentle, gentle expression of words to the mind, to the heart. But you have to be sensitive to it, or you will miss it. Folks, this takes time. It takes time for a couple to develop their relationship, really, truly get to know each other. What's true in the human form is true in the divine form. It takes time. So, as a believer priest, we have direct access to the throne of God. I go directly to the throne of God. And that's why you want to keep your sin list short. So at any given time, you will have access, because we know if I consider a sin in my life, he will not hear me. I've got to confess that sin. It's accessed through obedience and prayer. That's how you access the throne of God. Through obedience and prayer. Submission, obedience, and prayer. And then you pray those things that you know to be in accordance with his will. I look at much in this nation I know is not in accordance with his will. We may try to put our stamp of approval on it. Special interest groups may try to put their stamp of approval on it, but you cannot approve of what God doesn't approve of, and God does not approve of same-sex union. God does not approve of transgenderism. We try to put our stamp of approval as a nation on so much that God says, no, I do not approve of that. If we're not sure what his will is in a given situation, we have an opening there. I can share my preference. I can share my preference. I may not know what God's will is in a given situation, but I can share my preference. But after I've shared my preference, I can say, not my will, thy will be done. And he will honor that. And I've had to do that. Lord, this is what I prefer. I'd like to see this happen. However, Lord, I'm not sure that's your will, so not my will, thy will be done. Leave the results with him. Lord Jesus, Lord, I've tried to help us better understand what it means, Father God, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And I know in my heart of hearts, we will never be strong in the Lord and the power of your might until we are embracing these spiritual truths. These are spiritual truths outlined in your word that we must embrace in order to become strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Help us, Lord, with sensitivity to your Holy Spirit so that we can increasingly, day by day. It is a process, Lord. I understand that. But help us be willing to come through the process to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen.